guess it was at Gettysburg, that particular conference, and Frank said that he's never had a patient come to him for help who knew the old hymns of the faith. You know, so just memorize these hymns, sing them, and worship God. And somehow or other, the truth of the scriptures and the truth of these great hymns has a way of stabilizing our lives. And in fact, there's a line. Buzzy already knows what to put on the marker for me, because I'm going first. I am a coward. But the last line, I probably enjoy Easter more than any other holiday. I don't know about you, maybe Christmas, but Christ the Lord is risen today. And the last line of the last stanza is, ours the cross, the grave, the skies. Hallelujah. That's the biography of a Christian. You come to the cross, go to the grave. That's where we are this morning, Corinthians 15. The grave always wins. Then the skies. Hallelujah. So I don't know if you've decided that with your spouse, what to put on the marker. But sometimes we're just so clinical. You know, just the name and the date. You know, he being dead yet speaketh. You know, people walking through the Memorial Park, look at the little plaque in the ground and get the message. So that's something you can do when you go to the Marriott next week. Is don't have to be morbid. You know, avoiding burnout is not an end in itself. It really isn't. We're talking about Corinthians 15:58 this morning. And the context is, this corruptible someday shall put on incorruption. And for us, that is so encouraging. I mean, the average American wants low-cost, pain-free immortality in this life or he'll sue you. And all of your patients are terminal. So be competent, but not messianic. Because Corinthians 15 says, this corruptible for us will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is why we avoid burnout, is so that we can be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There's an interesting verse in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commands which I command you this day shall you observe to do. And there are three consequences of obedience, Moses says, that you may live and multiply and possess the land. And for me, that's the context of Corinthians 15:58. It probably takes about 5 to 10 years to learn to live the Christian life. Another 5 to 10 years to learn to multiply. And then we continue to live and we continue to multiply and we possess the land. And I'd like to suggest that in the time that you set aside, and let's take seriously what Tom Abshire said and Dave Simon and others have said this weekend too. whatever you have to do to take your own schedule, you know, by the collar, but block out some time. Half day, whole day, whatever. But think through on goals or objectives in these three areas of our lives. Now, we have personal goals and we have revelational goals. We all have personal goals. Live. Well, that's simply eat well, breathe well, rest well, and exercise well. And I trust you have goals in those four areas. So as long as you're in this tabernacle, take care of it. That's the only one you're going to get. Multiply. Well, that's marriage, family, grandchildren in the Lord's time. Although we need to remember that grandfather is an honorary title. And then possess the land. And you all are doing that. Professional competency, financial security, and so on. And these are personal goals, and they're valid and legitimate, but limited in and of themselves. One of the reasons that your colleagues, many of them, are so frustrated is because they've achieved all their goals. And achieving goals can be incredibly frustrating. And a lot of men and women with whom you co-labor have discovered that they have gotten to the top rung of the ladder, and it's leaning against the wrong wall. They have come to the end of a 500-mile cul-de-sac, and there's no gas station. And so they decide to have a midlife crisis. Because personal goals are inadequate. We must be committed to the work of the Lord. So let me suggest some goals for living, some goals for multiplying, and some goals for possessing the land. And they really are suggestions. They're just ideas. The navigators have an illustration called the wheel. Some of you have seen the wheel illustration, the Christ-centered life. Yeah, it's Christ in the center, and the Christian is the hub. Christ is the hub, the Christian is the rim. And there are four spokes. The Word, and prayer, and fellowship, and witness. And the reason for those four spokes is because those are the four essentials of life. Food, breathing, rest, and exercise. The Word of God is our food. Prayer is breathing. That's why the Bible says pray without ceasing. Rest is fellowship with Christians. This has been a restful weekend. It's been refreshing because we've been with brothers and sisters in Christ. Exercise is witness. It's contact with non-Christian people in order to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But do you have goals in those four areas? You do physically. That's why you're in such good shape. Do you have goals for living? Do you have a consistent means of intake of the Scriptures? Or are you malnourished? Prayer. Prayer is work. And it's like Buzzy mentioned to our seminar this morning, a dear friend of mine who was so busy that he stopped me one day and he said, the next time you're talking to the Lord, say hello for me. And do you have time set aside for prayer? Effectual, fervent, intercessory prayer. It's life and death. Prayer is as essential as breathing. Fellowship. We're probably doing pretty well in that. consistent contact, meaningful relationship with believers. Exercise. What are we doing to develop relationships with non-Christians? And our reaction is, well, I don't like the dirty jokes, and I don't like the cigarette smoke in my living room, and so on and so on. But such were some of you, the Bible says. And if someone hadn't been willing to put up with our foul language and habits and attitudes and selfishness, where would we be? Suppose Jesus had said to the Father, you know, there's an incredible universe you've created, we've created. I'll serve anywhere except planet Earth. Dirty, filthy, wretched, polluted planet Earth. Anywhere except there. Where would we be? Lost? Blind? Dead? Where he leads me, I will follow, except you know how I hate the cold. I hate humidity. I hate snakes. And we negotiate with God the fine print and the contract. Or we go to Guatemala, but we don't go across the street. Because it's easier to go to Guatemala than to spend additional time with a partner who's lost. Another goal for living is your immune system. There are three sins committed by Christians against by non-Christians against the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, and there are three sins committed by Christians against the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our immune system. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Thess 5:19 says, don't quench, don't douse. It's literally a bucket of water on a flame. And these are written to Christians with regard to our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And the problem with playing with sin is that we get the AIDS virus. We destroy our immune system. We go HIV positive when we toy with sin. Sin always has four steps. Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 and 21. I saw, I coveted, I took, and I hid. It's the same testimony of Eve. She saw the fruit, desired the fruit, took the fruit, and then she and her husband hid from God. And the place to deal with sin, brethren, is step one. The eye. The physical eye or the imagination. It must be stopped there. If we don't stop it there, it takes root into covetousness, action, and hiding. We destroy the immune system. So let's have some goals. And here again, your ground controllers are life and death. If you're going through it, if you're really struggling with a particular temptation, the best thing to do is get on the phone and talk with a godly man. And say, let's pray on the phone now. Or get with him as quick as you can. for prayer. But have some goals for your own personal life. In terms of multiplying, we talked about Jesus loved the world, helped thousands, and trained 12. Invest your life. You do two things with money, you spend it or invest it. You do two things with life, spend it or invest it. Invest your life in people. And here again, we con ourselves into thinking, well, I need just one more Bible study, or I ought to take off a few years and go to graduate school, and I need a few more answers. The world is not starving to death for lack of caviar. The world is starving to death for lack of bread. And there has to be some physician in your county association who knows less about the Bible than you do. Maybe even two. So find that bird and tell him everything you know. God did not intend for us to be reservoirs, rather channels. Reservoirs have a way of becoming the Dead Sea, incapable of sustaining life. And it doesn't matter how little you know, it's probably more than somebody else. Share it. Now don't go back to church next Sunday and ambush the first guy that comes into class, you know. You are my Timothy. Or Timothette. But make it a serious matter of prayer. A matter of prayer. Jesus spent all night in prayer, and God gave him Peter, James, and John. And in John 17, Jesus said to the Father, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." God gave Peter, James, and John to Jesus in answer to prayer. And God will give you people if you pray. And you only need one. And it's man to man, ma'am to ma'am, and couple to couple. Men disciple men, women disciple women, couples disciple couples. And the methodology is totally secondary. It's a Bible study, or it's coffee and donuts once a week, or it almost doesn't, you can do it on a chairlift. But invest your life in people, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? It's people. Jesus died for people, rose for people, redeemed people. Heaven is not a museum full of file cabinets, of decision cards. Heaven is filled with people. Are you your brother's keeper? Yes. Your blood brother, your Christian brother, and your professional brother. All three. Multiply your life. Invest your life. The parables of Jesus Christ are as direct and blunt and forthright as anything I know. And the guy with so many talents invested, and he was honored. And fewer talents, he invested, and he was honored. And the guy with one talent buried it, and he was dishonored. And it really doesn't matter how many talents you have. God did not entrust you with the knowledge and the experience and the training and the background for you to bury it. He entrusted you with what he's given you to invest it. Then possess the land. You continue to live. You continue to multiply. You possess the land. And for me, that's the period of life, and it probably comes somewhere 10 to 20 years into the Christian life, where you hit your stride in the full utilization of all your gifts. My personal feeling, and this is strictly conviction, not doctrine, is that the gifts in Corinthians 12 and Romans 12 are illustrative, not exhaustive. That there are many other gifts, music, art, drama, and so on, in addition to everything that's in Corinthians 12, that infused and filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit bring great blessing to the church and great blessing to the lost. Possess the land. And don't hold back. Don't limit yourself. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, this is not really a spiritual gift, and the church only needs teachers and elders and this, and I'm not good at any of that, therefore. No, there is so much. And you are unique. Possess the land. What are your gifts? Talk to your spouse. Talk to your best friends. Trial and error. Mr. Bob Foster, who was with the NAVS for many years and now has a Christian ranch up here and has retreats, has a little homily on gifts. Discover, dedicate, develop. 3 D's. That's possess the land. Discover, dedicate, develop your gifts. When you do, you leave a legacy upon which others can build. The Lord Jesus said in John 4, other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. And part of possessing the land means that we harvest the labor of others who've gone before, and we prepare the lives of people for the harvest of others who will come beyond, behind us. And it's great. And when your gifts are in full play, you may not even see the fruit. That doesn't matter. Others will harvest. Just as you and I are harvesting the soil and the preparation that God has brought into their lives through those who have gone before. Be steadfast. Unmovable. 90% of the Christian life is just putting one foot in front of the other. When I learned to fly a single-engine airplane, my instructor said, flying with Skip is 55 minutes of boredom followed by 5 minutes of sheer terror. And a lot of the Christian life is one foot in front of the other. And there are mountaintops. There are super experiences. That's fine. Be steadfast. Unmovable. This is the truth. We live in a moral universe created by an infinite, moral, personal God who has spoken, and he isn't going to change his mind. God has a thing about truth. A man told the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, they crucified the truth, buried the truth, rolled a stone over the truth, and forgot one thing. When you're dealing with the truth, there's always a third day. Unmovable. Always abounding work of the Lord. Your way, your style, your gifts, your temperament. Never compare yourself with anybody else. but you're abounding in the work of the Lord. Living, multiplying, possessing the land. We're part of a much bigger process. That's so encouraging. And sometimes you lay down the bunt and someone scores. You say, oh boy, hallelujah. Got another RBI. Somebody else got him on third base. And with a lot of your colleagues, all you're going to do is get them to first base. Some of them you're just going to get out of the dugout. Someone else will get them on first base, and someone else will get them on second base, and after you're long gone, someone will lay down a bunt and they'll score. That's okay. Avoiding burnout is to enable us to always abound in the work of the Lord. Keep it simple, keep it specific, keep it measurable, keep it attainable. Put a focus on it. Have all your personal goals and achieve them. Interface them with revelational goals. God has some goals. And by the power of His Spirit, in consultation with your own spirit, good head. I don't know what to do with this thing. Better just hold it. Consultation with your spouse. Have some goals. Come to New Year's Eve, the end of this year. Look back. Say, by His grace, we move toward the achievement of these goals. We were abounding in the work of the Lord. And then when He blows the whistle and you get out of the pool, it's well done. We're playing the game for the coach, not the crowd. There's only one person who really matters. And He's pulling for us all the way. Well, how are we doing? About 12:10. Let's have a word of prayer and got a few minutes to load the car before lunch. Let's pray together. Father, thanks. It's been a beautiful weekend. Beautiful most of all because Your Spirit has been so evident in every life here. And not only in the individuals, but Your Spirit has been so evident in the marriages for those of us who have that privilege. In the relationships, the bonding, the love. Seeing people that we haven't seen for a long time. As Milt said, to be so encouraged that people are steadfast and continuing to walk. We can say with John, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. And Lord, help us take all that we've heard in the seminars and one-on-one and sessions together. And in the coming weeks and months, to determine before You what our goals are for living, time in the Word, time in prayer, meaningful fellowship, relevant witness, and then to multiply, to invest our lives. Lord, lead us. Help us to do it in a way that is in keeping with our own temperament and personality and background and training. And not to compare ourselves with the way other people do it. But to know that before You, we are investing our lives significantly in other men and women. Beginning with our own children. And then possessing the land. enjoying the gifts and making them available to the body of Christ. Preparing the soil and the lives of others for a future harvest that we will only see in heaven. Give us the grace to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We thank you, praise you, commend our hearts to your grace and one another. In Jesus' name, amen.